This recording, Spain 9, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Comma Gets a Cure. Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it on a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling Coma Coma, which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Coma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered either. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold onto Coma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. So, I grew up in Madrid, in Spain. It's a very hard place to describe in many ways. I would say that as compared to the US, it is a much more relaxed and much more bizarre place in the sense that we are very focused on working to have time to like enjoy afterwards, and we are very, very aware of the pleasures in life, per se. So everything is more relaxed, everything is kind of chaotic and shambolic many times, but it gives it a fun spin to it, I guess. So growing up, what I think is a pretty normal childhood until I grew up, and then I looked back on it and I was like, no, that was not a normal childhood at all whatsoever. But I went to a very small school. It was basically like a big house. We were 14 people in each year, so like it was like about 100 students. And it was very, I would say like very hippie, very progressive, very like, like a lot of peace and love and like arts and crafts. And then I switched schools because that school only went for elementary school. So when I was when I went to middle school, I had to switch, and then realized that I had a lot of creativity and a lot of like resources, but that I really hadn't learned much as of what was expected for me to know at that point. So that was an interesting transition, and I think that was the moment where I started like noticing the more serious part, like the more serious sphere of what Madrid was like. Suddenly, I started relating with people that were much more work focused and not so much, oh, living life outside of work kind of thing. So that was a very interesting change and switch. Within my own family, we had both sides. So I had been exposed to that before, but not that much. And yeah, then in high school, I became this really weird creative kid, but like not sporty. Like I was not a theater kid because there was no such thing as a theater program. So I didn't know what I was, but I was kind of like fooling around and like playing music and being really emotional like all the time. And yeah, it was kind of a weird time in my life. And then went to college, was going to be a doctor at the beginning. Realized when I was choosing my college, that was not what I wanted to do. So I didn't do it. Got into med school. I actually got accepted into med school, but never got in. Decided that because I like to take photos and I was like into photography at the time, I was going to study filmmaking and television because that made sense, and started doing that. Actually really enjoyed it. And then it was my sophomore year of college that I got in my first play, the first time I ever performed, the first time I ever did anything. It was a musical. It was Newsies. We were supposed to dance. I cannot sing nor dance, so it was quite an interesting experience. I don't know how I got cast in that. Cuando estaba en Kentucky y empecé a estudiar canto, que nunca había estudiado canto. Bueno, había dado clases, pero no de manera seria. Hubo una profesora, doctora se llamaba, que me obligó a cantar zarzuela, que para el que no lo sepa, es una especie de ópera en español que para mí era una cosa totalmente extraña, que nunca había, o sea, apenas había oído, nunca había interpretado.